Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, October 14th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. In our series of false positives, we got an interesting guest diary today by Chris Sanders. Chris is writing about an incident that he covered in which he discovered a system on his network, beaconing home. Now, most network admins, I think, would actually miss some relatively subtle beaconing like this, where you have a system that periodically connects back to a site. In this case, turned out to be harmless, of course, because we are talking about false positives. It turned out to be a stock ticker that periodically updates via Google. Nevertheless, being able to spot patterns like this is very important and something where you really need to keep an eye on network flows and network traffic volume over time, more so than just content. And in particular, with more and more sites, like for example these stock tickers and such, moving to HTTPS, you may no longer have the luxury of actually identifying the traffic by looking at the packet content. So your next step would be to look at the IP address it connects to. We just learned a week or so ago that popular sites like Reddit are being used as command control channels. So just it connecting to Google, of course, doesn't tell you a thing. There's a lot of content hosted on Google IP addresses in Google space that's not necessarily trusted or authorized by Google. The other alternative, of course, you have is then reach out to the system from which the connection originates and try to identify what binary initiates that particular connection. And if you're using the Cyanogen mod with Android, be aware you may be subject or vulnerable to a man-in-the-middle attack. The problem here is that the implementers of Cyanogen mod copied part of the SSL code from, well, an Oracle sort of reference implementation, but that implementation is somewhat old, and as a result, it's vulnerable to a man-in-the-middle attack. The error here is pretty basic and actually was first pointed out back in 2012. The code that verifies whether or not the client actually connects to the correct host first checks if there is actually an identity algorithm specified. If there's no identity algorithm specified, then you cannot verify the host name. So instead of just cutting the connection at that point, this implementation will just skip over the host name check instead. There are many software development environments and such that are vulnerable to this particular problem. Cyanogen mod was just one of them. I hope they'll fix it, but at this point I'm not aware of a patch. However, it was just made public. If you're interested in more details, I'll link to the older, the 2012 paper in the show notes, as well as to an article on the Register talking about this particular vulnerability. And yesterday I talked about how some Snapchat images evidently got leaked using third-party applications that people used with Snapchat. Well, more chinks in the armor of disposable messaging. There is now new software available that will allow you to decrypt cached images from a cell phone that was used with Snapchat. Originally, Snapchat just used the same key for all devices. That, of course, was pretty quickly reverse engineered, and even though they tried to obfuscate the key in code, once you give it to a user, of course, they have the ability to figure out what's happening. The latest version took a little bit of a different approach. Instead of using just one global key, they created a local key for each device using the Android ID of the device as part of the key. Now, of course, that didn't last very long either, and there is now software available that will decrypt those images as well. Two lessons learned here, I guess. First of all, if you give an application to a user, the user will be able to reverse engineer it. There isn't really a lot you can do with respect to obfuscation. It just depends on how persistent the user is in trying to figure it out. And secondly, there isn't really anything like disposable messaging. Once the data hits the wire, hits memory, there is always a chance that some of it will remain for longer than you anticipated. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget, it's Patch Tuesday, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.